You can be seated. And if you have your Bibles, go ahead and grab them, and we're going to get into the Word of God this morning. We're going to, since we're dealing with the subject of faith and the blessing, and we're going to look at something this morning that we haven't looked at here in a while, and it's good to always go back and revisit subjects every now and then so that we don't let them slip or that we don't lose the importance of why we do what we do. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to the book of Genesis. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 1 here. And we're going to cover the importance of tithing again. We're going to look at that. And we're going to look at the Word of God and just re-energize our spirits with this revelation so that we don't just get into the mundane habit of just bringing our tithes to the offering plate, plucking them in there and going back and sit down and don't expect anything. Well, no, there's power in tithing. And so we're going to look at this morning, and we're going to re-energize our faith to this. And in Genesis chapter 1, and this is always where I like to start off talking about the tithe, because most folks will tell you that, well, the tithe is just for those that was under the law. Well, in Genesis, the law hadn't even come into existence yet. So that's not true. So in Genesis chapter 1, we'll start reading here. Let's read verse 7. It says, "And the Lord God formed the man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden." So who put the garden there? God did. All right. The man didn't put the garden there. It says God planted the garden. "And there he put the man whom he had formed." So God provided the garden. Now the garden is where all the provisions are, right? So God provided the provisions. And then place the man where he had provided for him. Now that's important for you to understand, especially dealing with this subject of tithing. Everything and anything that you come in contact with that God has given to you, you need to understand that it wasn't by the might of your hand that you got in the first place. It was by the favor of God, or it was by the might of God, especially us who live by faith. So that job you have or those resources that God has brought into your life, it says here that God planted the garden. God provides the resources and God provided your provisions. All right. And then he brought you into them. "And out of the ground, made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food." So therein is a key that God is not against you using your senses. All right. Now, we've been dealing with that subject here for a while, but I just want to point that out there, that when your senses are controlled and governed by your spirit, they're intact the way God wants them to be intact. So it says God made the trees grow that was pleasant to the sight and that was good for food. Now, notice what he points out here. "The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." The key word there is the word midst. When you understand what you're talking about, when we're talking about the word midst, we're talking about the center. We're talking about the focus point. Everything centers around that particular thing that's pointed out. It's in the midst of the garden. It's in the center of the garden. So now what is in the center of the garden? It says that the tree of life is located in the center, in the midst of the garden. Now, what does the tree of life represent? Now, here's where we're getting ready to come in and start understanding the principles of tithing. The tree of life represents the blessing, the flow of the blessing in this man's life. And notice it's at the center of his life. But also at the center of that man's life is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that tree represents the man's tithe. So the two things we see that God here has at the focus point of this man's life is the blessing, the tree of life, and his tithe, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, the Bible says God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, and that he changes not. So here we're in the book of Genesis in God's original perfect plan, and we're already finding the blessing and the tithe connected. So then he goes on and he says here, let's drop on down here to verse 15. It says, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest of it, you shall surely die. So now, here's the blessing, the tree of life. In the center of the garden, at the focus part of this man's life. Here's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's also in the center of the garden, at the focus part of this man's life. And then the Bible says God took the man and he set him down in this garden. Now, their provisions were there. God provided everything in the garden. He provided both trees. Right? So God was the provider here. But then he tells the man something. He says, now look, of every tree, every fruit, everything in this garden you have access to, it belongs. Hey, have at it. He did not restrict that man from eating from the tree of life, did he? Eat as much of it as you want. Have as much of the blessing as you want. The only thing, Adam, that I'm going to command you, now understand, I'm going to command you, so tithing is not a suggestion, it is a command. He said, of everything in this garden you may fully participate with and partake of, but this one tree, do not eat from it, lest you surely die. Now, when you start talking about death, you have to be talking about the curse. Because the curse, death comes out of the curse. So God is telling Adam here that in the day that you decide that you're going to go against my command and eat what I'm asking you not to eat of, you will bring upon yourself death. Now, what is death? You will separate yourself from God. That's what he's saying. Adam, the moment that you start disobeying me concerning what I've asked you not to do, you will surely bring upon yourself the curse. You won't live and walk in this blessing, or you won't be able to eat from this tree of life freely anymore. All right? So, Adam's job here was to dress and keep it. Not just only the tree of life, but his job was also to dress and keep the tree of the knowledge of good and evil as well. In other words, he had to handle it. It was his job to take care of everything in his garden. That's why God doesn't automatically debit your tithe right out of your paycheck for you. No, it's your job to dress it and keep it. It's your job. You're going to have to handle it. But God has given you a command that as while you're handling it, it is your job to bring it to present. It's not God's job to automatically debit something from you. It's not somebody else's job. It was Adam's job to deal with that. Because, you know, Satan tricked Eve up and said, Eve started running her mouth talking about, well, we can't touch it. Well, God never told you not to touch it. How are you going to keep something and dress something if you don't handle it? So Adam's job was to take care of his tithe, take care of the blessing, take care of it. If he took care of the blessing by taking care of the tithe. Handle it. Keep it. So when your paycheck comes or when you pick up your paycheck, it is your responsibility to take from that what God has commanded you and to dress it, prepare it, and bring it to present it. All right? So we see all this going on here. Now, God is not talking at this particular time about money. The blessing here, God is not talking about money. He's talking about life issues here. So here's another key. Tithing is not just about your money. It's about how you live your life. The blessing covers the whole spectrum of life, not just your money. Okay? So we see here that as long as Adam obeyed the command of God, he was able to walk in the fullness of his blessing with no type of hindrances, no type of blockades at all. And his life flourished because the blessing covers every aspect of your life. So this lets me know here that the tithe connects you. It is one of God's direct connections to the blessing. Now, as a born-again believer, all of us in here are blessed. The Bible says God has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in the Anointed One and in His anointing. So you are blessed. But, and you can't, you're blessed, and can't anyone take that away from you? But what you can do is block it. And what God is teaching Adam here is how not to block his blessing. What blocks the blessing? Sin. Sin. What is sin? It's simply going against the word of God. So who commanded Adam? God commanded Adam. It says, and God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which represents the tithe, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that you eat thereof, you will cut yourself off. I mean, God sets up the whole premise here on how man is supposed to live and function with the blessing. Now, why is it that God, in our day and time, we don't have cattle out back and pigs and horses, and, you know, we don't have, vineyards and gardens and things of that nature to bring to present. We go to work, we get a paycheck. Now, write this down if you've never wrote this down before. We see here that the tithe, just hold on, give me one second. The tithe, like I said, well, the tree of life represents the blessing, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil represents the tithe. Your tithe represents your life. That's what I want you to write down. Your tithe represents your life. Now, I'm going to show you how here. How is it that your tithe is a representation of your life? Because you had to get up out of your bed and go to a place of employment for X amount of hours every day. So that's X amount of hours out of your life that you had to give to get your paycheck, right? So that paycheck is representing the X amount of hours of your life that you've given, right? So that is a representation of your life. Now, why is it that I believe that God put in the Gospels that says that you can't serve two masters? And one of the masters in that particular verse of scriptures was God, and the other one was mammon or money. And so God says, you can't serve me and money. You're going to have to choose. How do we do the choosing? With your tithe. It's with your tithe. Because God has commanded you to do something. And He is expecting obedience. Now, as we go, we're going to look at some things here. We're going to see why. I've already given you one clue because it is the blessing connection to your life. It hooks you up. Most people have reduced tithing just down to a money issue. And therein is why they have a struggle with it, is because they do not understand the essence of tithing. Tithing is not about money. Tithing is about your life. The blessing covers every aspect of your life. When you look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, it covers every aspect that you can think of. It covers your wealth. That's your money. It covers your property. It covers your health. It covers your family. It covers your relationships. It covers every aspect of your life. Every aspect. And God wants you so connected to this blessing that every aspect of your life has the ability to be fruitful, to multiply and replenish and overflow. So now, let's look here. Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 2, they disobey God. They ate their tithe. They just ate it up. But notice in verse 24, the penalty. Verse 23, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. Now notice, what did I say the Garden of Eden was? It was his provisions. It was everything that God had provided. Did Adam have to work for any of it? No, the favor of God, the love of God gave it to him. But now notice what happens after he's disobeyed God. The Bible says God sent him out of the provisions. He had to leave from provision. So he lost provisions. And now he has to toil for everything. He has to get everything by the sweat of his own brow. He has to get out here now in this dog-eat-dog world and try to make ends meet on his own. Why? The blessing is not functioning for him the way that God says, the way that it was designed to. But whose fault is it? It was Adam's. So when you decide that you're going to go against the commands of God and eat your tithe, you force yourself into a position to where now the blessing can assist you, and everything that you have to do now, you have to do by the sweat of your brow. You have to toil. Proverbs 10 and 22, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, life rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. And I believe the Amplified Bible says, neither does toiling increase it. It requires no toil. So we see the man here, he disobeyed and he lost out. Now he's on the outside of this garden. The blessing's still in the garden. The tree of life is where? It's still locked up in the garden. But notice the verse 24 said, and God put an angel there with a sword, wouldn't let him back in. So this man's out here now having to toil, trying to get it done, toil, trying to make it work, trying to make life pleasant, trying to get his needs met, trying to make sure he can take care of his family. Everything now he has to do on his own because he does not have the blessing to assist him anymore. So now we come over here to chapter 4. Now here's his two sons. And verse 3 says, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought forth the fruit of the ground and offered unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. So now, for years, they taught us that the reason God, if you go down here, and I'm not going to read all of them, but you can read the rest of it. The reason that God didn't accept Cain's offering was because he didn't bring a calf sacrifice. That wasn't true. That's not the reason that God didn't accept that man's offering. Let's look at this a little closer and you'll find out. Let's read verse 3 again. It says, and it came to pass in the process of time that Cain brought forth the fruit of the ground and he offered it unto the Lord. So Cain had a garden. He was a farmer. And the Bible says he brought forth the fruit of the ground. But you don't find the key until you read what Abel did. It says, and Abel also brought forth the firstling of his flock. So he was a herdsman. So Cain brought what he had and Abel brought what he had. But notice it says Abel brought the firstling. He brought the first best. How do I know it was the best? Because it says he brought the fat thereof. So he picked out the best of his first flock and he brought that to God. Whereas Cain just gathered up what was left over. He kept the best back for himself. When you research that, you'll find that out. Cain just grabbed a few things here and a few things there and threw them in a basket and brought them. But it says Abel handpicked the best of the first and brought it to God. Therein is the next principle. You don't bring God the leftover of the tithe. You bring him the best. Well, what's the best, Pastor? You tithe off your gross. That was tough for me to hear. I was barely making it off of the net. And you talking about you want the gross? Well, would not the gross be the fatty portion of it? The fatty portion wouldn't be after Uncle Sam got his and retirement got theirs and Blue Cross and Blue Shield got theirs and whatever else come out your paycheck. And now all we got left is this little bit. And now I'm going to bring you this, Lord. That's just like bringing like Cain. I'm just going to bring you a little bit. But are we going to honor God and bring him the first and the best? Don't you want the best? How many of us in here would be satisfied with God just shooting us a little something every now and then? No, you want the best, don't you? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So it says here that God, verse 5, but unto Cain and unto his offering, he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. He got mad. Now, the reason it's called an offering here, because the term tithing hasn't showed up yet, but we're still talking about the tithe. They hadn't gotten to the term of understanding the word tithe yet. I guess God hadn't taught it to them yet. But if you understand the principles of tithing, we're still talking about that right now. And the Lord said unto Cain, why are you so wroth? Why are you so mad? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do as well, if you do what's right, shall thou not be accepted? And if you do as not well, here's something very important. Now hear this. Sin lieth at the door, and unto you shall be his desire. And thou shalt rule over him. Now, it says, if you don't do what's right. Now, we're talking about this tithe here. Don't miss that. We're talking about that tithe here. He says, now, look, if you don't do what's right concerning this tithe, sin is crouching at the entry point of your life, your door. And his desire is to have you, but you need to learn how to master him. How to take the tithe and master him. Then I had this thought a while ago, and I wrote it down so I could always remember it. Disobeying the tithe causes a person to engage in acts of sin to do or get what the blessing would have done or gotten for you. Now, you know that that's right. When you refuse a tithe or when you just don't do it, you engage in sinful acts, not because you want to sin, but you're trying to get and possess things that the blessing would have normally done it for you. For example, you're not a tither. You just say, oh, well, I get to it or whatever. I don't believe in that stuff. Income tax come and you putting kids on your income tax that you don't have. Sinful act. Sinful act. Trying to get what the blessing would have provided for you. See what I'm saying? All of those little things, this is why it says sin was crouching at the door. Because God understands. God knows that the system of the blessing will provide everything you need. And he understands that there has to be some type of correlation between obedience and blessing. If not, anybody could get in on it. You can live any kind of way you want to live, and then the blessing will still have to provide for you. Now, don't misunderstand me. I've already said everybody in here that's born again, you are blessed, and you will never stop being blessed because God says you are. But you can block it. So God told him, look, I'm trying to help you here, son. If you do what's right, won't I accept you? Or in other words, won't the blessing work for you too? Now, I said we're going back over this because I want to make sure that we don't lose grip and lose focus of how important this is to our life. So now, we see here that Cain didn't do what he said, didn't do what God said, and ended up killing his brother. And got cursed to live on the face of the earth. Couldn't nobody kill him. He just had to suffer. God said, ain't nobody, I'm going to put a mark on you and make sure nobody ever touches you. You're going to live out the fullness of your days because you refuse to obey me. And all he had to do is repent. Father or God, forgive me. I'm going to go back. And the next time I show up here to present, I will make sure I bring you the first and the best. And I'm going to tell you something right now. And God would have turned right around. I know the love of God. God would have turned right around and accept that old jacked up offering that he had just brought. He said, okay, son, I'll take this time on your word. Now, let me say this. Was God trying to tell Adam, you are never, ever going to eat from the tree of life? I mean, from the tree of knowledge of good and evil? No. Evil was in the earth. God knew it. But God intended on teaching Adam himself and not Adam having to learn it by experience. How did Jesus learn about evil? He learned it through the word of God from his father. He didn't have to experience. The Bible says that Jesus took on and became sin for us, but the Bible never said the word no. He never knew sin. In other words, he was never intimately acquainted with it. Because to know means to be intimately acquainted with sin. In other words, he has never personally engaged in sinful acts. He learned it and learned obedience to it and received it by faith through the word of God. So God taught him. And God's intentions was, because the Bible says, when we were looking, God said, when he made the garden, he says he gave it all to Adam in the first place. It was his. But God just put a command on one thing, the tithe. But I believe God's intentions were going to be later on when that tree was ready to be presented, that Adam would have brought the fruit from that tree and God would have sat down with him, had communion there at that tree with him and taught that boy about the knowledge of the difference between good and evil. He would explain to him. See, God would have took the fruit and God would have administered the fruit and administered it unto Adam. And Adam and Eve would have sat there and they both would have learned about. Now, there's a crooked enemy, thief, a no good, rotten scoundrel in the earth. And he's a liar. And God would have taught his son. He never got that far. He violated before he even got there. You know that's right. Let me tell you something. Being a tither and underneath the blessing, it leaves you open to revelation. The blessing provides revelation. It teaches you. There's education in the blessing. And all these things God would have done for Adam. Now let's look over here at Genesis chapter 12. How do I know that that's true? He did it for Abraham. And God's no respecter of person. Now, Genesis chapter 14, what I want to get to. So now in Genesis chapter 14, you find now God has told Abraham to go. Abraham obeyed God. He went, you know, and he made a few mistakes there, but God is still working with him, trying to teach him and trying to educate him. But then we come down here to this section of dealing with the story of Abraham in verse 17. And this after the kings, several nations had came against Sodom and had taken all of their captives into all their people into captives, and Lot and his family. And the Bible says Abraham got his boys together, lived in his house, and they went and they delivered Lot and brought Lot back. But now when you go to war in these days, the kings came and they brought possessions, everything, because they had been conquering nations on their way. They were on a campaign to conquer all this part of the world. So they, as they conquer the nations, they get all their stuff. Well, they don't have time to go back to their kingdoms and drop it off. They just keep on going, but they have to carry the stuff with them. So now here comes Abraham. He goes down here and he defeats all the kings. So he has all the stuff. So all the stuff that these nations had, that this group of people had conquered, all the gold, silver, jewelry, whatever, camels, oxen, whatever they had, Abraham has it all now. So he comes back here, and we'll pick this up here in verse 18, Genesis 14, 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. So here comes the priest, the man of God, to talk to Abraham, to Abram at this time. And notice he's bringing the bread and the wine. I believe God would have showed up at that tree, and him and Adam would have had bread and wine. They would have had communion right there. God doesn't change. This man's the priest of the Most High God, so he has to be getting his orders and his directions from who? The Most High God. He ain't making this up on his own. And notice verse 19, and the priest of the Most High God said to Abraham, now we're talking about, he said, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. So now the priest of God brought forth communion, and they had communion. But notice the priest administered what? The blessing on Abram. And I believe that, like I said, he's getting his script from God. And I believe this is what God would have did for Adam. He would have brought forth that communion, and he would have just re-pronounced that blessing on Adam and showed him how to take that blessing and get anything done he needed to get done in his life. But notice what Abraham did here. Abram. It says here, verse 20, and blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thy enemies into thy hand. And notice, and he, Abram, gave him a tenth of all. Abraham, everything he had brought back, it belonged to Abram at this time. And the Bible says that Abram gave the man of God a tenth of everything he had taken. So what's going on now? The priest is administering the blessing, and Abraham's administering the tithe. The same thing is true when it comes to you and I. Your job was to dress it, keep it, dress it and present it. Your job is to bring the tithe and present it. And God's job, well, through Jesus now, is to make sure that the blessing is being administered in your life. He never changes. Now, after Abram gives the tithe, come on down to verse 22. And Abram said to the kings of Sodom. Well, first of all, verse 21, and the kings of Sodom said unto Abraham, just give us the persons and you take all the goods for yourself. But then Abram turns around and says, I lift my hands unto the Lord, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, that I take not from thee a shoelace, and I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou should say, I made Abraham rich. What did Abraham just say? I don't need you to give me anything. Here, take all your stuff. I don't want one dime of it, because I don't want it to ever be said that the works of my hand, the might of my hand has gotten me anything. I'm blessed. The blessing and the Lord who owns all of this will take care of me. That's what Abraham said. Because he understand, Abraham started to understand the power of the blessing in his life. That's why he released that tithe, stay connected to the blessing. So I don't need anybody to give me anything. I don't need any aid. I don't need any support. All I need is the blessing of my Father. And as long as he stayed connected to that blessing, he flourished, didn't he? Abraham, you never find where he disconnected from it. He made mistakes, but mistakes don't disconnect you from the blessing. Disobedience does. Adam didn't make a mistake. There's a scripture in the Bible says that Eve was deceived. Adam wasn't. Adam walked into that thing with full knowledge of what he was doing. It was not a mistake. It was flat out disobedience. How do you? And here's what makes it even bad, because the Bible says none of us, nobody born after Adam has sinned after the same similitude of Adam. What does that mean? Adam had full knowledge, full comprehension. There was no sin in his life. There was no disconnection between him and God. He was walking in absolute total perfection with God. He had all mental capacity of everything was working in this man, and he still disobeyed God. He knew fully what he was doing. Now, none of us can say, well, first of all, there is a sin nature that fights against us. Adam didn't have that. He didn't have any pressure on him making him do anything, trying to force him to do anything. He simply did it. He chose to do it. At least the devil has to pressure and tempt you to do something. But then there comes a point in your life where you know the Bible says he that knows how to do right and then still doesn't do it, to him is now sin. So now, Abraham's giving a tithe. He's reject the world's help. He's relying on the blessing. Here comes Revelation, verse 15, chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceedingly great reward. Didn't Abraham just get through saying that in verse 14? He told him, I want your stuff. God got me. And now God's come back saying, confirm it for him. I heard what you said, Abraham. And surely I'm just that. I'm your shield and I will be your exceedingly great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless and the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And now here comes Revelation. God says, no, that's not it, Abram. You're going to have a child of you. God starts now teaching him, giving him revelation on where he's trying to take him. That blessing opened unto him in Revelation. God would have set Adam down by the foot of that tree and he would have taught that boy everything he needed to know. He just didn't get that far. Now, let's go to Malachi. And this is where everybody teaches on tithe from. We just now getting there. There's so much more to the word of God than just teaching tithing out of Malachi. You miss a whole bunch of stuff if you just go there. But now, based on all the revelation that we just listened to and found in the book of Genesis, now we can understand what Malachi is talking about. Malachi, the third chapter, let's look at verse 6. For I am the Lord God, and I change not. I've already said that, didn't I? God's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. In other words, what he's saying, what I instituted in Genesis is still true today. I don't change. Therefore, your sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinance or my commands and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I'll return unto you, says the Lord of hosts. Then God gives him a question. But you're going to say, because he already know what they're going to say, but you're going to say, where shall we return? Now they're going to play ignorant, like they don't know what to do. Verse 8, will a man rob God? Now, let's stop here for a minute. Do you actually think that in that statement God is talking about when you decide not to bring your little $200 or little $50 or whatever it is, that you're robbing God? Do you really think that's what he's talking about? Because you didn't come here with your little $150 in your little envelope, put in the basket, that you just robbed God. He ain't talking about your money. God is saying you're robbing me of the opportunity to show myself strong in your life. You're robbing me of the opportunity to release this blessing in your life and to see your life flourish. The Bible says that God gets pleasure out of the prosperity of his people. You're robbing God of his pleasure. You're not robbing him by keeping your little 10% in your pocket. He says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you're going to say, wherein have we robbed thee, God? In tithes and in offerings. Verse 9, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even the whole nation. Now, is God cursing people? No. God understands the command has already been set there. In the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die, or the curse will come upon you. You are blessed and can never be changed because God says you are in Ephesians. But when you turn around and eat your tithe, you block it. You block the power of the blessing in your life and you step over underneath the area of life where now the curse is functioning. In other words, you are now getting ready to start being forced out there where you got to toil by the sweat of your brow. That's what he says here. He didn't have to do it. It's already in place. It's already there. It's raining outside right now, isn't it? So if I walk outside, I'm going to get wet. Is it the rain's fault I'm getting wet? No, I went outside. Now, here's the other thing. Here's an umbrella here. God provided the umbrella. It's the blessing. It's to keep you shielded. So if you have the blessing, if you have the umbrella in your hand and you walk outside in the rain and just keep the umbrella in your hand, why am I getting wet? Shoot, God, don't you see this water falling on me? Why don't you stop this? Dumb, I gave you the umbrella. Use it. That's the same thing when it comes to your tithe and the blessing. Stuff hitting you and you're saying, Lord, help, Lord, help, Lord, help. And God's steady redirecting you back to your tithe and the blessing. But Lord, I can't. Okay, what you're saying is you want to keep getting wet. God doesn't violate anything. He says he changes not. Now, he says you're cursed with a curse because you've robbed me. Verse 10, he explains how to reverse the curse. Bring ye all the tithe. Back to that word all, the best again. Bring ye me. It says, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse. Where is the storehouse? The storehouse is primarily the place that you're being fed. For most people, it would be your local church. That's where you're being fed. But if you're someplace remote and you don't have a local church and your primary source of being nourished is a televangelist on television, then your tithe goes to wherever that televangelist is. But if you have a house, a local house where you go to be fed, then that's your storehouse. That's where you eat. That's where you go to eat. You know, you don't go and buy groceries for the next door neighbor's house, do you? You buy groceries for your house because that's where you're going to eat. Nor do you come home and say, you know what, I'm hungry. And you go and ring the doorbell at your neighbor's house. Ding, ding, what I got for dinner? No, you eat at home. So you bring your tithe to the storehouse. Why? So that there would be meat in the house. What is the meat? It's the word. So that you will be able to be taught the word of God, and the man of God don't have to be sitting up here talking about the lights gonna get turned off because we don't have enough money in, and you know, we only have three chairs, so somebody's gonna have to stand up. And I apologize for the air conditioner not working. Come on. It takes money to run a ministry. God understands that. He's already put a system in place. Now, do you have some silly leadership that does dumb things? Yeah. But you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You can't look at a few rotten apples and say, oh, the whole barrel's no good. You got to take them out one by one and expect them. You have to know where you go to church at. And if you don't see any fruits of your labor, then you need to start questioning, is this a good church? Now, here's another thing. This ministry is a good ministry. God provides revelation for the ministry. God takes care of you guys really good up in here. But you want to know why he does that? Because this ministry obeys the tithe. Everything we take, it's not that many of us in here right now, but everything that we take up, everything that we take up, 10% leaves here. First, I don't care what got to first, got to go. It's not my money. If the tithe would work for me as an individual, then doggone it, it would work for this church. This is why we don't have financial problems and I don't worry about money. I don't have to stand up every time. Can we get another $50 line? Can we get another $100 line? Come on, guys. Come on. Reach down deep. Come on. Bring it on up here because, you know, this week, if we don't make a certain amount of money, we just don't know what we're going to do. No, I'm not ever going to do that. God says that the blessing will make rich. So the blessing, if it don't make rich, then it's God's fault. If we ever come up here and I say, we got to shut the church down, don't be mad at me. You better go talk to God. Because we don't play with the money. We present the records. The records can be seen. You don't play that here because it's not my money. I take that very seriously. Doggone, if you're going to be a leader of anything, you better have some integrity about yourself. Not only do we tithe, and that's tithing off of the top of whatever we take up. So what the tithe is determined by the monthly income, 10% automatically goes out. It's the best. Then we turn around. We have Reinhard Bonnke and that we support in Africa. That's another $200. It goes every month. So now we have a tithe and Reinhard Bonnke. Then we started getting into Revelation. God says that we're supposed to bless Israel. So now $100 goes to Israel every month. So that's $300 plus a tithe. And we don't have that many people in here. But you have never come up here and the lights is off. The heat wasn't working. We don't stand up here begging for money. We still going to have the Christmas dinner. We still have the church picnic. And we still do the nice things for you. And we haven't suffered one bit. And we will never suffer. So don't tell me I know it works. I don't even have to talk about our life personally. I'm talking about what the church does and what God has done. Look, this room you're sitting in. We have hardly, this probably was less members than it is now. This room was what, $10,000, a little bit more, debt free. We didn't finance this. God gave us, helped us with the money and put it all in here. And we didn't borrow one dime, nor did we go under doing it. God will take care of you. So he says something that can be meat in his house. Now notice, this is the only thing where God gives you the opportunity to test him. He says, prove me now herewith, says the Lord. In other words, let's try me out. Test me and see. And see if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour ye out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. God says, test me and see what I'll do. See, you were robbing him because he couldn't empty this blessing in your life like he wanted to. It couldn't produce like it wanted to. So God says, prove me, test me now and see what I'll do. Now, I like to do this here because all those italicized words in verse 10 were added to kind of help that sentence flow smoothly. Let's take those italicized words out and let's read like it's originally written. And it says, God says, prove me now here, what says the Lord, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that be not enough. So it says me pouring out the blessing is still not enough. There's even more that I'm going to do. What's the more? And I will rebuke the devourer. So not only would I bless you, but I'll make sure the devil don't touch none of it. I'm going to protect you. Haven't we been talking about in the blessing, subdue and have dominion? Just getting stuff, that's not enough. I want to make sure that you are completely and totally covered. I want to put you in an area where the devourer, which is the seed eater. When you look the word up, devourer, that's what the definition is. He is the seed eater. What is a seed? That's any offerings that you give, any words that you speak, seeds. God says, I'm going to put a blessing on you, and then I'm going to make sure that the devourer, the devil, can't touch it. He won't be able to touch it. I will protect you. Did not he tell Abraham, I will be your shield and your exceedingly great reward? Not only am I going to be your financier and your provider, but I'm also going to be your protector. That's what he told him. And I rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before time in the field, says the Lord. And all nations, everybody that see you will call you blessed. And you shall be a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts. Delightsome. The word delight, the word Eden, when you look it up, it means delight. Delightsome land. When you look the word up, Eden, where God formed the garden, Eden, it means a delight. It's delight. A delightful land. So God said, not only am I going to bless you, I'm going to take care of the devourer for you, and the blessing will work so in your life, you'll become the Garden of Eden. People look at you and be like, my God, what's on you? How do you do that? You're the light of land. But here comes verse 13. Here's the problem. Here's the problem with everybody that won't tithe. Your words have been stout against me, says the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? And you have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we keep his commandments, and that we walk mournfully before the Lord of hosts? So what are they saying? Well, you know, why am I going to pay my tithes? How's that going to help me? If I give 10% of my money, I ain't going to have none of money left. Then what I'm going to do? What good is it to bring your tithe to the storehouse? The economy's going bad anyway. I don't see how that's going to help anything. What sense does that make? Your words are stout against him. But most of the time, the reason that people's words are stout against him is because they don't have any revelation when it comes to what the tithe is going to do in your life in the first place. So you don't have any way to defend yourself. But if you understood what the Bible says, you'd be like, I'm going to check into this. Now, let's go here and let's look in Hebrews. And if you notice, we've been from Genesis, the first of the Bible, Malachi, we're pretty much in the center of the deal here. Now we're at the back in Hebrews. I had a Bible on and talks about tithe in the Old Testament. And the Bible talks about tithe all through the book. The book's about the blessing, and you can't do the blessing without the tithe. Let me find Hebrews. And let's look here at Hebrews chapter 7. Well, let's read 6 and 20 first. Let me read 6 and 20 from the Amplified. It says, where Jesus has entered in for us in advance, a forerunner, having become a high priest forever after the order and rank of Melchizedek. Or in other words, Jesus, now that he has been resurrected, is now become a high priest for us. And he has the same orders and commands. And he has the same responsibility as Melchizedek had. What was Melchizedek's responsibility? To administer the blessing. Isn't that what that's the only thing the Bible said about him? The man shows up, and the only thing that you see him doing is administering that blessing. And then he doesn't talk about him anymore. Why? God was setting up for where he was headed. Now, Jesus, because that's significant to understand, if Jesus has the same responsibilities as King Melchizedek did, and all God left in the Bible for us to see about King Melchizedek is that he's the administer of that blessing in your life, in Abram's life. So that lets you know right there, Jesus' primary responsibility is to be the administer of the rights of this blessing in the life of his people. Now, verse 4. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth or a tithe of all the spoils. And verily they that are of the sons of Levi who receive the office of the priesthood have a command to take tithes of the people according to the law, this is of their brethren, though they came out of the loins of Abraham. But he who's this, where am I at? That's not where I want to be. Yeah, I guess it is. But he whose descendants does not count from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promise, and without all contradiction, the less is blessed by the better. Now, notice that it says that the less, the least, is going to be blessed by the better. And here men that die receive tithes. So that's men, the priests, the pastors, men who receive tithes. We see we pass on away, but there he receives them. Notice that. But there, here, man that die receives tithes. So where would that be? Here, where? On the earth. But there, two different places here. It says, but there, he receives them on whom in his witness lives forever. So here on earth, you bring your tithe to the altar and man that die receives them. But the Bible says, but there, in heaven, your high priest receives them. Jesus. Jesus is receiving the tithe. Now, what did Abram do? Abram brought the tithe unto Melchizedek. Melchizedek received it. And he did what? He blessed Abram. So Jesus has the same responsibility there. There where? In heaven, where he is. When you bring your tithe, and you put it in the ground here, I'll receive them. But the Bible says that Jesus receives your tithe in heaven. And if he receives your tithe in heaven, he then does with the responsibility that he was given. And is what? Pronounce and administers the blessing in your life. He makes sure it flows. He makes sure what his father promised in the book of Malachi takes place. Now, let's look at the whole scope of his responsibility. Go back to Hebrews 3. And let's look at this. And we'll be done here. Wherefore, holy brethren, Hebrews 3 and 1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle. Apostle means sent one by God. and the high priest. What does the high priest represent? He is a minister or administer. So consider the one God has sent to administer after our professions, Christ Jesus. So, wherefore, brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider Christ Jesus, who was sent by God to administer something. Then verse 2 says, who was faithful to him that appointed. So not only is he the sent one by God to administer something, the Bible says he's faithful to his job. Now, we should talk about the tithe here. So that word profession there in the Greek means confession. So as this scripture is now saying, consider Christ Jesus. Consider the anointed one, Jesus, who is the sent person from God to administer something to you based on your confession. Based on your confession. Now, last place, Deuteronomy. Let me find out where I want to head to. Deuteronomy chapter 26. Here God outlines how tithing should be done. Because now notice, he is the apostle, the sent one, and high priest to administer of your confession. So just because you get up out of your chair and walk to the front of the church and put an envelope in the basket, and now you says you call yourself tithing. No, you just brought the object of the tithe up. You haven't did any tithing yet. Because Jesus is administering after your confession. Tithing is not done with an envelope. That is just the act of obedience that you're bringing because God said bring it. But tithing is done with your mouth. How many know the Bible says that the just shall live how? By faith. How is faith released? Through words. Well, I've been tithing for years. I don't seem to be getting nowhere. Well, what you been saying? See, just because you bring your tithing up here, put it in the bucket, and you go home talking about, shoot, God, I hope my lights don't get cut off. Girl, you know, we sure don't have that much money. See, hold on. Your confessions aren't matching up with what you did. Your words are canceling out what you put in the offering plate. You can't disconnect this now. That's why confessions are so important, because Jesus is the high priest and apostle and high priest over what you say. And he is only going to administer the blessing according to faith. Now, verse 1 says, and it shall come to pass when thou art come into the land which the Lord God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it and to dwell therein. Isn't that what God said to Adam, did for Adam? He prepared the Garden of Eden and did what? Set the man in it. Same thing here is what he's talking about. When you come into the place that God has prepared for you, whether that be an inheritance, a job, or whatever God has prepared for you, thou should take of the first of all the fruits of the earth. In other words, the best of what is being provided, which you should bring of all the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and you shall put it in a basket. We do that. And shall go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name. In this day and time, it would be a blessed church that preaches the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit dwells there. That's where his name is. It's where his name is being proclaimed. That's where Jesus is Lord. So the Bible says that when you come into your stuff, when you get your paychecks or whatever it is, whatever increases you, Because the blessing is the one that helps you get it. God helps you. The favor of God is on you. So whatever increases you, the Bible says that you are to bring it unto the Lord. Why? Because it also says in Leviticus that the tithe belongs to God. It's holy unto God. It's His in the first place. So it says that you bring it to the place that God has put His name and you put it in the basket. That's what you do when you come up in here in the church and you put the money in the basket, the envelope in the basket. But notice, you're not finished. Thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days. It ain't talking about the preacher, the pastor of the church. He's not your priest. Who did I just read to you? We just got through reading the book of Hebrews. Who did God say it in the Bible was your high priest? It says Jesus. So after you put your stuff in the basket, it says now you're to go unto the priest that shall be in those days. Well, who is the priest in these days? It's Jesus. And you shall do what? Say unto him. Not come up here talking about, well, pastor, no, don't come talking to me. I can't do it for you. I can't bless you. You got to go talk to the man that got the blessing on it. And say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God that I am coming to the country which the Lord swore to give unto our fathers to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thy hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord. And then thou shalt go on and say some more stuff. Now, did not Hebrews say, here men that die receive, but there he receives? So it says that when you bring your tithe in your hand here on earth, it's like presenting it to him in heaven. And he receives it. And you should be making confessions. And if you go on and read down through there, it gives you an outline. It talks about how reminding God what he is. God, I thank you. You've brought me from a mighty long way. I remember you've brought me up out of this. We used to be like this and you delivered us from that. And Father, I give you praise that you have blessed us and you've increased my life and my family's okay and we're good. We're strong and we're healthy. And I give you praise that the blessing has opened up unto me good opportunities and favors. I'm just giving you, just a snapshot, but you tie in what you need. Glory to God that the enemy's coming against my body, but by the blessing of God and the word of God, the Bible says that by his stripes, I'm already healed. Bless God. Bless folks aren't sick. And glory to God, you said that you would take care of that devil for me. Glory to God. And the blood of Jesus has done it. And I hold my tithe up, which represents the blessing in my life, my covenant connected. And bless God, I'm not going to die and be sick. And you stand on it. You stand on it. You don't let the devil get you afraid. You bring your tithe, whatever's going on in your life, you bring that tithe before you get here on Sunday morning or whatever day you bring your tithe in, you get before God. If you got something going on in your life, go get your bread and your wine, set it down there, get your tithe, set it down there, and you go to quoting the scripture out of the Bible about your issue. Bless God. The word of God said this. And the word of God said that. And the word of God said this. And it said that. And the Bible says that Jesus is the high priest and apostle of my confessions of faith. And that he is faithful to administer this blessing in my life. And bless God, I'm blessed. And you hold that up before God and you make your confession of faith. And when you get here on Sunday morning, you're ready to come up here and put it in the offering plate. Now you have just did your tithing. But just bringing an offering to the, just bringing an envelope to the basket and you've said nothing, you still haven't released the power yet. That's why a lot of people tithe for years but never see the benefit of it. Why is it? It is because they don't release any faith in it. They don't believe it. It's just, we just got to take our money up here and give it to God. Well, you're not bringing anything to give it to God. You're presenting it. Don't let your words be stout against God. Trust him. Believe him. He loves you. The reason that God is wanting this to work in your life is so that you don't have to resort to sin. Because he knows if you start doing sinful acts, you start blocking the blessing in your life. And remember what he told Cain. He says, Cain, if you just do what's right, I will accept it. But if you don't, sin is crouching at your door and his desire is to have you. But I want to show you how to master him. And when you read through the book and you find out in those places where God taught on tithing, what you come to find out is that everybody that trusts God made it. They didn't have any problems. I'm not saying that stuff didn't come against their life, but it didn't master them. They were able to master it because God says so. So I thought we would just take a day here to remind ourselves of why we tithe, so that we don't let it slip, and that we all get back in the habit of making our confessions of faith when we bring our tithe. Yeah, we make one here on Sunday morning, but it's an overall. I can't personalize your confession for you. Only you can do that. Nor can you make a confession on Sunday and then all the rest of the week talk against it. You have to watch your words. Life, blessing. Death, cursing, are in the power of your tongue. And whichever one you speak the most, that's what's going to fill up your life. Psalms 45:1 says that your tongue is the pen of the ready writer. In other words, your tongue is the brush that's painting on the canvas of your life. And if you don't like the picture that you're seeing, check the words that you're saying. Now, we've went over this again today, and I thank God for the opportunity to be able to do it. I need to hear it. We all need to hear it. It's good to strengthen your faith up on that again. Amen. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for just re-energizing the revelation of tithing and why we tithe and the responsibility and the benefits of it, Father. We thank you for that, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Jesus, for being the sent one of God to administer these blessing rights in our life. We fully expect them because the word of God says they belong unto us. We give your name praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen.